This show is presented by ERN, your source for premier entertainment on the web and on the air.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and we are talking with Elaine Rose Glickman. She is the author of Your Kid's a Brat and It's All Your Fault, a book to make us all feel good about ourselves. Thanks so much for being here with us, Elaine.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk about more of along this concept of, okay, you know, it's a funny title and all of that, but really you've got some great ideas to help us put things in perspective and understand, you know, how we need to be navigating this world of parenting. So let's talk about your kid is bankrupting you. Sometimes it's tough to admit you don't have unlimited funds, you know, to buy the latest iPhone or, you know, the latest cool shoes or, but, you know, we need to be upfront with our kids about the fact that these things don't grow on trees. And this is, you know, this is a reality check. What advice do you have for us when it comes to, you know, that unending money tree that kids seem to think we have growing in the backyard?
I think a lot of it goes back to the idea that our job is not to be providing absolutely everything that our kids want immediately and at every hour of the day, and that our primary job isn't to make our kids happy. If we find ourselves really going without, and I've seen this too, where the child has the better phone than the parent, or the child has nicer shoes, for example, than the parent, then something is really off. Different families have different ways of talking about money and kind of different levels of where they feel comfortable sharing with your children. I'm certainly not saying you should get out your bank statements and explain to your kids, okay, now here's where we're doing this, and here's where we're doing this, and here's where this money is going. But at the same time, informing your child, as you said, that there's not a money tree, that we work hard for our money and that we have certain priorities for how the money is spent, that's a great thing to share with your child. If you're able to explain to your children, for example, we don't spend money getting the best phone. We spend extra money getting organic produce, for example, or we may not buy the top-of-the-line clothes because we like to set money aside, as you said, to be able to take a family vacation every year. And if you set money aside also that you don't maybe buy your child the shoes that they're most excited about, but if you make a point of setting aside a certain amount of money every year, for example, to give to charitable causes, that's also a great thing to share with your child. Telling our kids that we have priorities for how our money is spent is a great opportunity to teach them about the values that our family has. And on one hand, if what you're ultimately saying is, and that's why I'm not going to get you these basketball shoes, or and that's why I'm not going to get you that phone, they might not be thrilled at that part, but you really have taken a great opportunity to give them an understanding of how your family works and the kinds of values that you have, and ultimately the ones that you want to share with them and instill in them as well.
I have the funniest story. I just had a conversation like this with my daughter, my 6-year-old, and I mean literally almost everything that you said I went into with her, and I explained to her why, you know, we do this and we do that, and that's why we have money for this and don't have money for that. But, you know, ultimately we have, you know, we all have a common goal as a family, and we want to spend quality time together, and we want to be able to give back to charity, and we want to do all these things. So we have to prioritize, and we have to, you know, sometimes we have to do without certain things in order to do other things. She left the room, and she came back with a credit card that she had made herself. And she said, "Mommy, I made this credit card so that we can afford to do everything."
That's so cute. I mean, on one hand, right, that's not the super helpful way of getting through it, but it's actually really lovely. She heard you. She understood you. She was trying to find a way to get around it, a way so that you can afford everything. But she did understand that you have certain priorities and that there are certain ways that you spend your money. Now you get to have the conversation about credit cards and credit card debt, but that might be able to wait, you know, a few years.
Right. I mean, I was it was so funny because I really did see that everything that we discussed, really, it did sink in, and she really understood. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know what, I'm going to find a solution to this. And everything about that I just thought was so lovely and so sweet, you know, and so 6 years old. And yes, we will have that conversation about the credit. And I kind of started to give a basic overview of why that wouldn't be a mm-hmm. viable solution. But it was just so great because I really did feel as though I wasn't spinning my wheels when I had that conversation with her about the family. And as a whole, we have our value system. And so this is how we're going to have to prioritize our spending. And she did get it. And I thought, you know, that was really great. So I'm glad to hear that you to hear that reinforced in this conversation, that that's something that you advocated and it's something that we need to be doing, because it's,
absolutely,
you know, it's difficult to tell the smaller ones in particular, you know, that you know, we can't do that, because they really can't cognitively always understand why we can't do that. But I, you know, I'm, it's nice to hear that, you know, other people are dealing with these issues, and that, you know, there are ways to make it sink in and to make it palatable for kids, you know, and so that they can understand it and try to come up with ways that they can maybe help, or they can, you know, be a part of the solution rather than just having their hand out. So I like that a lot. Now, before we go, I want to talk about one other thing. I want to talk about lying. You know, what, sometimes things do get a little out of hand, and kids begin lying to their parents. And you know, I'm thinking more like of the tween phases at this point. But, you know, what advice do you have for parents who are dealing with the fact that their child has begun lying to them and they don't really know how to handle that?
I think lying is a huge problem. I think it is such a fundamental violation of the trust in a family and the trust between a parent and a child. And I think, having said that, pretty much every kid is going to lie sometimes. And the answer is not to disown the child or kick them out of the house. I can't believe you lied. We're done here. But at the same time, it is to acknowledge the fact that you believe, that you don't believe them, that you think that they're lying, and that lying destroys trust. When you have a very young child, it can be very obvious when they're not telling the truth. They say they haven't eaten a cookie, and there are little cookie crumbs on their cheek, on their chin, on their lip, wherever, you know, your child might get the cookie crumbs. But you're right, when kids get to be older, elementary school, grade, tween, it can be much, much, much more difficult. And I think I want to say it's hard. I mean, different families have to sort of balance out different ways. What is your relationship with your child? What might they be dealing with? Because sometimes when a child lies, it's because they're feeling frightened. It's because they're feeling overwhelmed. And it can be a real opportunity to get into deeper discussions about what's going on in their lives, about what's going on even in your relationship with them. But what I want to say is that the fact that the child has lied needs to be something that's called out, and the child needs to be told in words and in deeds that it's not okay. Saying to someone, oh, I understand why you lied, it's because you're feeling really upset and sad, let's deal with the fact that you're feeling upset and sad, that's important to do. But once you've dealt with the fact that they're feeling upset and sad, need to go back and tell them, I understand why you felt you needed to lie, but it's not okay to do that. It's going to take time now for you to rebuild that trust, and just to make sure they understand what a violation it is. Don't overlook the fact that they've lied in your rush to deal with whatever might have precipitated the lie, or in a rush to make them feel better. If they feel sad or ashamed that they've lied, don't take them in your arms. Oh, it's okay, sweetie. It's okay that you lied. Don't be sad. Don't cry. Understand. Let them feel bad that they've lied. Let them feel guilty that they violated the trust, and figure out ways that they can build it back, because that is an essential thing to rebuild that trust between parent and child.
And that is something that I think needs to be said. You know, we're going to go to a break and come right back. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. You are listening to Working Mother Radio. I want to continue this conversation about lying, so I'm going to go to commercial and come back. Stay with us.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Born Dodge. We'll be right back.